Howdy, listener, and thanks for tuning into our podcast, The Movie Log, A Journey Through Cinema. My name is Izzy.
And my name is David. Each week, one of us will pick a movie that the other has not seen. We will deep dive into our individual takes and historical background of the movie.
Please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Instagram at TML A Journey Through Cinema and Twitter at TML A Journey.
In today's episode, we're traveling to 1966 England for this British film, Alfie, directed by Lewis Gilbert, starring Michael Caine, Shelley Winters, Jane Asher, and Julia Foster. Alfie was written by Bill Naughton, who also wrote this 1963 play. The play was adapted into a film twice, this 1966 version starring Michael Caine and a 2004 version starring Jude Law. A brief synopsis of the movie. Alfie Elkins, played by Michael Caine, is a chauffeur living a life of promiscuity. Even after he finds out his girlfriend Gilda, played by Julia Foster, is pregnant, he continues his life of womanizing, leading Gilda to leave Alfie to raise their son with another man. After a mental breakdown caused by a health scare, the separation, and the fear of his death, Alfie spends time at an inpatient home, where he becomes friends with Harry, another patient there. After womanizing a few more women, like Ruby, played by Shelley Winters, Annie, Jane Asher, as well as Lily, played by Vivian Merchant, Harry's wife, which leads to an unwanted pregnancy and abortion, Alfie must deal with the consequences of his own actions when he is left alone and miserable. So, Izzy, why did you pick this film?
I picked this film because I remember first watching it because someone told me that it was one of Michael Caine's first films that got him on the map, and I'm a big Michael Caine fan. I really enjoyed this film, and I remember when I was doing my little research on it, when I first watched the film, that it got some Oscar nominations and Oscars underneath its belt. It starred Michael Caine's career. It got a lot of awards that year, and a lot of people in 1966 said it was a great film. So I thought that this was an interesting movie to talk about because this is a movie that has a lot of hard topics to discuss, especially in today's age.
Yeah, I was surprised when you brought this film to me you were surprised I had never seen it because I'm a huge Michael Caine fan as well. And I just never quite got around to watching this movie.
I also was really shocked that you didn't watch it because usually when people discuss quintessential British movies, usually this movie is on the list. It's either like number 2 or 5 or whatever. It's like always on the list of 5 British films you should watch before you die. 1966 or 1960 film that you should watch, and it's always Elfie's always on it.
I think the reason I just didn't watch this film back in the day was because I had watched a lot of other early Michael Caine films. And so when this opportunity came, when you brought it to me, I thought it was a great chance to see it and watch it. And that's about it. So Alfie is a really hard character to watch throughout this movie. And even though it's billed as a comedy, there's some very dramatic parts of the plot and some very pointed criticisms about men in society through Alfie the character. Do you actually respect Alfie in this movie, or do you even understand or enjoy watching this character?
I don't respect Alfie. I think he's selfish and a misogynist, which is his character, which is his point.
I guess respect is kind of the wrong word I was going after. I think what I really was trying to go after was, do you find Alfie a sympathetic character? Do you find sympathy with him? And in all movies, you have to be able to find some connection with that main character to keep watching the film and finding the meaning of the film. Do you find him a sympathetic character?
I wouldn't want to say a sympathetic character because he does horrible things throughout the whole movie. He treats women like prizes. He treats women the same way that he treats cars. He's not a good friend. He's not a good business employee. He's not a good partner. But at the end, you do feel sorry for him, or at least I did, because I think it's because at the end he tries to change. And usually in movies like this, if he tries to change, everything will turn out right by the end. But I think this movie, because of the fact that he's done such terrible things, this movie doesn't reward him with a happy ending, which A is good because people need to learn that lesson, and B, it adds so much more to Alfie's character than like a anti-hero romantic type.
Yeah, I think sometimes making somebody a product of their environment and using that as a reason to give the character an excuse for their actions is kind of a quick way out. In the movie, Alfie, like you said, does some pretty horrible things, and I still don't think they kind of point out that he is kind of a piece of his environment, because there's other characters that are similar to him that are truck drivers or chauffeurs who are rough around the edges. But there's also plenty of people, plenty of men in that society as well that treat women with respect, that do the right thing, that don't do the things that Alfie does. So there's always a character in there doing, being a mirror to what Alfie's actions are. So it shows you that this is not a definitive look at that society and how men are in that society. It's basically saying, this is somebody who is making these choices. I think that's a big difference. They could have easily had a scene where you saw his dad being bad to his mother when he was a kid that made him that way. Or he could have had a monologue about how this is how he was raised or whatever. But they never let Alfie off the hook like that. They never explain the reason why he does this, which makes it very much, this is a character driven by their own actions, which I appreciated because it made the character much more deep. And when he does attempt to change, you almost are questioning, is he actually trying to change, or is he starting to realize the gig is up and he needs to start altering his interactions to get what he wants?
There's also a character in the movie that mirrors Alfie's behavior in Ruby, a rich older woman who treats men pretty much the same way that Alfie treats women.
Shelley Winters playing Ruby showed you that a woman that was very comfortable in herself, knew exactly what she wanted, and in a way treated men like Alfie treated women, showed you that he wasn't the only one playing that game. And I think that's the thing, though, that the difference is every woman that was in Michael Caine's or Alfie's economic strata didn't have the choices that Shelley Winters' character had because she was rich and American. And I think that was also a very intentional choice in both the play and the movie. So one of the things I think that for me that I really enjoyed about the movie is that there is no quick and easy answer. Like we just talked about with Ruby being a mirror character for Michael Caine's Alfie, that there's men that are in the same scenario that Alfie is in, and they still make good choices, or at least upright choices. There's women who have to make choices for their kid, and so they make choices, the best choices that they can in those situations.
There's the whole scene where Gilda and Alfie have a conversation, and Gilda says, I'm leaving you for another man. And Alfie pretty much asks, do you love him? And she was like, nope, but at least he'll treat me better than you and take care of our kid.
And then later on, Alfie sees them, and she is really happy. And there, you can see that there's a love that's grown between the characters. And part of that is because the respect that obviously that this man gives her led to a good relationship. Now, is it as deep of a love that she had for Alfie? I don't know. But at the same time, she seems to be happy. There's a second kid in the family now. So obviously the family is growing and thriving. So it's also kind of a sad thing, because you see Alfie is watching them from afar, and he knows that he's never going to have that in his life. You can see it in Michael Caine's performance that this is something that is both foreign to him and something that he kind of wishes for. What do you feel that the screenwriter Bill Naughton was trying to say with Alfie, this character. I mean, it's easy to point to him and say he's a rogue, he's a rascal. Yeah, he's a modern version of Don Juan or Casanova. But what do you think Bill Naughton was trying to say?
Well, a shallow reading might say that this is like a PSA against the Summer of Love type atmosphere that was happening at that time. But I don't think that's necessarily the whole story, because you can be free in your sexuality and not be in danger or a doofus to a lot of people. I think Alfie really talks about what it means to have relationships with people and how we as one person can't just think of ourselves as one person because of our relationships. If we just think about only ourselves, our whole relationship falls apart. We can't deny that Alfie is not a selfish man throughout this whole situation. He tells us pretty much off the bat that he's selfish. He says, she wants to get into a committed relationship, but I don't want to get in a committed relationship, so we're not going to get in a committed relationship. I also think it's along the lines of, you know, if you're being selfish, you won't go far. I think it's also about if you respect your partner or respect the people around you, you will go far. Like Gilda, she had mutual respect with her next boyfriend turned husband, and they went far. You know, you see them later in the film. Alfie's son has grown up in a loving household, and they now have a daughter, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I think the thing, too, is that you have the son that Alfie really wants to connect with. He never does. I mean, he buys him a bear that he never quite gives him, you know, and so this animal, this stuffed bear, is kind of an afterthought through most of the movie, and he never quite connects. He never connects with the son, and you see the son being a well-adjusted kid with the other father, something that maybe he never would have been able to give his kid. And in sort of a weird twist, him pulling himself out of his son's life is probably the best way that his son was going to get raised. I think another thing for me too is when I'm watching this story, it's a very gritty and sometimes hard story to watch, because of the characters are so, you want them to make other choices, and you realize that it's not going to happen. These are the choices that these characters will make. And I think the reason I respect the choices the characters make is because they're driven by those characters and are not like forced in there to make the plot move or to make people happy with the characters. When at the end, when Alfie is doggedly still trying to do the things that he's doing, you have a whole movie showing you that this is the character, this is how he's going to react, and he's not going to change. And it takes something very shocking to make him even reconsider his actions. And I think that's, to me, that's really good storytelling, because you have such a good sense of what these characters are. You're not going to have shallow choices for them to make. So one of the things that this movie asks at the very end is, what's it all about? So Izzy, what do you think this movie is all about?
Mutual respect for oneself, for one's partners, and for the people around them. And Alfie consistently shows that he neither has respect for himself, which is why he sleeps with married women, because he knows that they won't get it too attached. And if they do, he can run away because they're married women. He doesn't have respect for his partner, and we can see that through Gilda, Alice, and pretty much any woman that he sleeps with throughout this movie. And he doesn't have respect for his peers. He insults a lot of the people that he works with, other truck drivers and chauffeurs, and even though he's on the same level as them. And he even insults, quote unquote, his best friend throughout this whole film, Harry, by sleeping with his wife, even though he has told Harry multiple times that he thinks that his wife is loyal and that he himself would not sleep with his wife. And what do you think it's all about, Dan?
I think it's also a story about somebody trying to figure out who they are and what they want in life without really understanding what they truly do want. He falls into the chauffeur job thinking it's a great job. His relationships with women, I think he doesn't really have a plan. And so basically he, since he doesn't respect himself and he doesn't have a plan, he pretty much is trying to game the system and never wins because he doesn't really understand the game.
So what do you mean by that? What do you think when he asks, what's it all about? What, like, small little snippet of self?
I think the reason why he's asking it at the very end of the movie, what's it all about, is because he truly doesn't know what's all about. After all the things he's done, he's no farther ahead. So one of the things that we talked about is, how does this movie reflect 1966 England, or the 60s in England? And we both instantly went to the fact that in the 60s in England, there was a shift in English films having the actors speak with their own accents. So Alfie's a really good example of this, because in the first movie that Michael Caine was cast in, Zulu, Michael Caine had to put on a posh accent to play a British officer. And then in this movie, he got to use his natural accent. And he was really proud about the fact that this movie allowed him to play a character that he would have grown up with and was around him the whole time.
That's the first thing that I thought about when I asked, when we were asking what this movie reflected from 1966 England. And one of the things that I also really enjoyed is that they continued down this anti-hero path. There was a lot of everyday anti-hero characters in literature and film and plays that were happening in around this time, which is one of the reasons why Alfie was such a popular character, because he's neither extremely evil or extremely good. You know, he's an everyday person. And so there's a lot more in film, there was a lot more snapshots of real people. So this is a movie about serious topics. And yes, it was remade in 2004 with Jude Law. But my question to you is, do you think this movie, this exact movie, would have been made today?
The way that Michael Caine and the director set up this movie, no. I don't think it could be made. Even the way that the screenwriter wrote the screenplay, this movie deals with somebody who is a misogynist at its core. And that is, when you think about that, that's a pretty heavy character to play. And in today's world, you'd also look at some of the tactics that he uses to get dates and things like that as being predatory. The character would not withstand viewership now. We can kind of look at it back as a history piece. And I think we kind of look back and go, 1966, this was the way this person acted, and he was able to get away with it because it was the 60s. In today's world, it wouldn't go over very well with audiences. Now, the one thing that the film does do that I think a modern film would try to do is that he doesn't get off from his actions. At the very end, he is alone. He is not in a relationship. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what it's all about. So he doesn't have that happy ending, because he doesn't deserve a happy ending, because he does everything in the movie, every choice that he makes in the movie leads him to having a bad ending. I don't know how that character would be received. The 2004 version softened the character, kind of treated him like a guy with commitment issues. So I don't know if you could truly update this character in a way that would make it so you had the energy and the slice of life of 1966 England and still maintain and make it the movie now.
Yes, I think this movie would really be hard to make today for today's audiences. It has a lot of topics that were taboo then that are a lot taboo now. They have a lot of misogyny. And we have grown as an audience to understand that that is not okay. But one of the things that I didn't really enjoy about the 2004 version is that they make Alfie almost a romantic character. You know, Jude Law is very handsome. He kind of has a posh accent. And they move the location from London to Manhattan, where Alfie is like, because he's a hot British man with a posh accent, he's kind of like a commodity there, and he's romantic because of that, and a bunch of American women are almost throwing himself at them, which I don't particularly enjoy because it takes away all of Alfie's originality.
Well, I think a bigger issue there too is in the original movie, they show you all sides of Alfie and the good sides, the bad sides, especially the bad sides. And they never shy away or try to whitewash what his behavior does to other people. You see the consequences. Alfie may not always see the consequences, but you see the consequences of his actions. And they're not good. And when you update the character like you did in the 2004 movie, are you really just whitewashing that? Are you really just making misogyny normalized at that point? Are you really making some of the decisions and the way that he treats women normal under the guise of, isn't it romantic? And that's the thing that I had an issue with the 2004 version, is that when you soften it and you round those sharp edges and sand them down so that it's easier to understand and easier for you to consume, then you're taking away all the pointed criticism about the character. So the character itself is not supposed to be the hero. He's a true anti-hero. And the thing that makes me kind of frustrated with the 2004 version is that I remember the posters and when it came out, and how
smooth skinned and it's purple and champagne the poster is, and it's like that art filter where the light turns into circles.
Yeah, and I just feel like they were really pushing hard the romantic aspect, and like you said earlier, that part just like makes me go, okay, they're just normalizing really bad behavior at this point.
Yeah, and one of the things, speaking of the poster, one of the things that I really enjoy about Alfie the 1966 version is that the poster, in its all, even in its all 60s color craziness that most 60s posters are in, there's a picture of Alfie with Ruby, and he's like kissing her neck and stuff to show you that this is a sex romp. This is not, you know, this is not a romantic, we're all going to fall in love film.
So, yeah. So, I think that's the thing that when you ask, can this movie be made today? I don't know, because of the predatory nature of the character. On the flip side, I also don't know if I would want to update this character, because at this point, you're just, anything you would do to update it would seem like you're whitewashing or normalizing really bad behaviors or beliefs. So is it really just a movie that, and a play that's part of a time and should stay there, and we go back and look at it for the hard questions it asks? Maybe you could update it and make it today, but I would really hope that would be in some filmmaker's hands that didn't soften the character like it did in 2004.
Well, in 2004, when this movie came out, a lot of people who were alive in 1966, because, you know, I wasn't, but a lot of women said that this movie made them realize that they were feminists because they knew what they wanted, how they wanted to be treated. They knew that they wanted respect, but they still enjoyed this movie for the questions that they offered.
You're talking about the 1966
version. 1966
version.
Okay. These people were looking back at the 1966 version in 2004 when the second movie came out. One of the things that I also hope that if somebody creates this film, if somebody tries to recreate this film today, they usually, with the eyes of feminism, they usually say a misogynist is the worst thing in the possible. And I'm not saying misogyny is good, but they usually make a misogynist a caricature of what a misogynist is. So you can no longer, so it's, you can't even think about that character as a person because he's so cartoonish that I also believe that if they tried to keep Alfie's misogyny in today's time, they would make him too misogynistic, that none of the amazing points about this film, about how men treat women and how we can change and things like that, wouldn't be able to come through.
Yeah, because there are moments where the character is kind and thoughtful, and there are moments when Alfie does surprise you. And so I think that's what makes it much more of a... It makes some of his bad behavior even more shocking. And I also think it makes you understand that when he's questioning at the end what's it all about, do you understand that that comes from a place? It wasn't him just turning around and going, oh, I guess I didn't get what I wanted. What's it all about? You see the journey of the searching journey of this character. So I think, yeah, that's what makes him generally a sympathetic character. Sympathetic, not in the case where you actually care about him and care about how he survives the movie, but sympathetic as in that you're watching him through the movie with and connecting with the character on some level. And I think that's why the movie works. Michael Caine's performance also is really good and really connects with you as a audience. It's not a very safe performance. I think he does push the envelope a couple places, which is great. And I think if he didn't push the envelope, he would have probably turned into a caricature. It could have eased. This is another character, like you said about modern misogyny in film. They turn a lot of those characters into cartoons. This is a character that could have easily been a cartoon in 1966. I think the character can easily become one note, and Michael Caine's performance really, really did well for it. Now that we kind of just tore down the 2004 version and talked about the 1966 version, what did you like best about the Michael Caine film?
Michael Caine, because he's amazing and I love him so much. But I think also, I think that particularly this is a woman-heavy film. The main character's not a woman, but you can't deny that most of this cast is women.
I know that most of the cast is women, but the director's a man, the writer's a man, the main actor's a man. So there definitely is a male point of view.
Yes, but one of the things that I really enjoy is that even though this has a male point of view, most of the women, I'm not saying like the woman who says, hey, here's your hamburger, but most of the women who are on camera have a presence and have a deep character. Like with Gilda, she's a lovelorn woman and she could have been all flighty and gone, I love you, Alfie, but I just can't be with you. But by giving her motivations to like raise her son in an environment that is conducive to him and pick somebody who respects her over somebody who doesn't and things like that, allow her to grow as a person and allow her to have complex feelings. Also with Ruby, she's a woman of sexuality. She's a woman who knows herself, who has respect for herself, knows what she wants, knows what she doesn't want, which allows her to also have complex feelings. Different ones, but ones that we don't really get to see a lot with women during this time.
Yeah, I think that's one thing about Shelley Winters in this movie playing Ruby is that she's not afraid to say what's on her mind. She's very vocal and it's nice. Yeah, you're right. It's a nice change of pace to have somebody in a movie that's not fit to a standard that we normally see in films. At this point, in a movie, usually that relationship is the defining relationship of the movie, and the two characters will eventually hook up and move on to the third act, and then move on, and usually with the implication that they're going to be together. And that scene is supposed to be the scene that sets up the move into the third act, where you're going to go, okay, this is going to be the relationship that's going to define Alfie. Pretty much is the end of the relationship. And so you're moving into the third act going, where are we going now? And then it gets really dark into where Alfie is because of all that he has to live with the consequences of all his actions at that point. And I think that's the thing that makes it I think a much more interesting film is that he doesn't get off scot-free and he has to live with his actions. I don't know if he ever truly accepts them, and I don't know if he ever truly thinks it's 100% his fault, but that's the Alfie character.
I also think that it's very interesting that the women in this film don't let him get off scot-free either. It's usually women in this type of movie are portrayed like, oh, sorry, I can't be with you, I'm so sad, oh, you know, something like that. But the women hold themselves up and they're like, no, you treated me badly, you get to live with the consequences. And you get to see that in the last final interaction of the movie. The movie opens with Alfie sleeping with a married woman, and that same married woman comes in kind of like a bookend in the last scene and is pretty much like, no, I'm over you, you suck. Pretty much like, you suck, I'm going back to my husband now. Hope everything works out for you, but if it does, it doesn't really affect me because you suck.
Yeah, and he's convinced that she'll come back, which we as an audience know that that won't happen.
So what do you like about this film? I've talked about why I enjoy this film, about even though it has a male vision, a lot of the women are three-dimensional characters. So what do you enjoy about this film?
So when I watched this film, I really enjoyed it because it had that really nice strength of character to it. Because I think also because it was written as a play before it was written as a movie, they kind of were able to workshop this. And so they really understood the character before they made the film. It's a character that could have easily fallen apart under its own weight. Another thing I liked about the film is that I just have a soft spot in my heart for British films from this era because of the cinematography and the editing and how they do that, and how there's a definite look and feel from films shot in England at this time. I always enjoy going back and watching films from this era.
What about the cinematography and editing do you enjoy?
Well, there's a very a fast cut. Sometimes they use it in certain scenes to get really drive home emotional or visual cues. And then there's also the cinematography is a lot more lively. They'll work in zooms and pans, which of course by the 70s have been so overdone that most filmmakers by the mid 70s, there was like this unspoken rule, never zoom, never pan. But when you watch these films, it was still kind of a new tool. They didn't really overuse it. And so it adds a certain level of energy to the film.
I like the opening credits where he's talking to us and then the lady in the car goes, Alfie! And then Alfie pops up on the screen. I don't know why, but I just love that. It's just so clever. And I know that's probably overdone and you've probably seen many examples of that, but this was definitely like the first time that this has happened for me. And I was like, when I was 15, I was like, ooh, go off. Yes.
No, it's a very nice.
I apologize for everything that I just said right now.
It's a very well-designed film. The 60s are kind of a special spot in British film, and one of the reasons why is because there was a collapse of some of the bigger British studios, and so American studios came in and either backed the British studios or came in and created their own British departments.
When Ealing Studios and London Films collapsed, American backers came and funded a lot of films, and that included a lot of American directors coming over to London to direct their films. And because Americans didn't really understand the whole idea about discriminating against a certain person because of their accent, they were hiring a lot more people who were just capable actors. And so because of the fact that American people could, that were backing the movies and came to direct, a lot of people hired people like Michael Caine.
So yeah, so I think this also leads into the fact when you have an American director or an American producer coming in, they want to make the best possible movie, even though people would argue that Hollywood doesn't want to make good movies, but they do. They want to make good movies because they want to make money and they want to make their movies last. So when they were making these movies, they would bring in actors and then they would go, Oh, that actor fits the part.
Well, we even discussed earlier on this podcast that Michael Caine's first movie, Zulu, he had to put on a posher accent, and that was a movie directed by a British director.
I think the thing, too, that we need to remember, too, about this time period is the studio systems in America were starting to show cracks and having issues. So they were looking for anything to jumpstart and make their films profitable. So if they could have a broader world market, that would also help them out. So when you're looking at actors like Michael Caine, who can, and Sean Connery and Terrence Stamp, and you're letting them not only talk in their normal accents, you're also pushing them out there. It really leans into this more, it's the first step into a more global industry, which I know that Hollywood films had been around and been global previous, but they needed to make sure that they were bankable everywhere and that they weren't just bankable in the United States. There was a period where they could pretty much rely on, if a James Cagney film did all right in America, that was good enough. And if it made any money worldwide, that was just extra. And it became in the 60s and 70s where that shift started being where you had to worry about how much money you were going to make globally. It still surprises me today that when we say a movie bombed in America, that the movie bombed, because there's a lot of movies that did bombed or didn't do very well in America that made tons of money overseas and the studios are more than happy with. So that's another thing. That was the first step into the globalization of Hollywood.
One of the things that we found helpful while trying to find cool facts about this movie that we could talk about is Michael Caine made a documentary called My Generation about Swinging London, which was really interesting and really good. And it was a hand-in-hand collaboration with a museum, was talking about this and had really cool pieces of like Twiggy's original photos and things like that. So,
yeah, and they were all talking about how they were all from working class families and how they were because that was being reassessed in the 60s, they were able to move up and become famous models, actors, film directors, photographers. It's a really good documentary. If you have a chance to check it out, I really would.
Because this change didn't just happen in film, but it also happened in fashion and music as well, which is why the Beatles became popular. Well, one of the steps to Beatles becoming popular.
So I think a good companion piece to this film, if you really want to watch Michael Caine's early films, is that he does a series of spy movies in the 60s where he plays Harry Palmer. The first one being the Ipcress Files, where he made the year before Alfie, and then he made two more in the 60s, the other one being Funeral in Berlin and The Billion Dollar Brain. And he plays very much a working class spy. It is not James Bond. It's not high end. It's very down and dirty. He isn't the guy with all the gadgets. He's usually given like one piece of information. His superiors don't really truly respect him. It's actually a really good film series too. It's probably a lot closer to how the Cold War was and spycraft was in that era. I really recommend, if you're going to watch this movie, I'd watch those movies too, because it's again that working class mentality about how these guys have to go in and do this job, and his character isn't suave, isn't sophisticated. His character is just trying to do the job as if it's, you know, a career where he punches the clock, and it's a lot less glamorous. And I really enjoy those movies because of that. It's one of the things that kind of makes me go that I wish they would make movies like that now, where that the characters are a little bit more real. The spy craft is a little bit more real. But again, it goes hand in hand with this movie where you have this working class spy. I feel like if you watch this movie, Alfie, and then those movies with the Harry Palmer character, that you're going to find very much that shift in British cinema where you start start showing characters that have a very different perspective. So, Izzy, after all the things we said about this movie, would you recommend it for somebody to watch today?
I would recommend it with some caveats. I think it's a great film to watch historically wise for character development. It's really wonderfully done. I really do enjoy this film because it has so many complex characters. But my caveat is I would recommend watching Alfie alongside Michael Caine's documentary, My Generation.
Yeah, that would definitely put it in perspective of what they were trying to do at that time. If you're a fan of British cinema, if you're a fan of Michael Caine, I think that would make it a fun watch to watch with knowing that you're going to get into a movie that, although it's billed as this sex romp, has a much deeper level to it. And there's some very, not only dramatic scenes, but some very harrowing scenes in the film that you just have to be prepared for. That's how I feel about this film. I would definitely recommend it, like you said, with caveats. I mean, I think the thing too that why this conversation has been really fun for us to talk about today is the fact that Michael Caine has had such a varied career, but he's one of the first people to tell you that he's made some really bad movies. But I love the fact that he just goes in and he plays the character as best as he can. He's been the best part of so many bad movies that it's not even funny. And so that's why he'll always have a soft spot in my heart.
Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. We will be posting a new show every Tuesday. Please subscribe to our podcast, leave a review, and follow us on Instagram at TML, A Journey Through Cinema, and Twitter at TML, A Journey. We also have a Facebook page under The Movie Log. You can find all our socials and past episodes at The Movie Log, A Journey Through Cinema.buzzsprout.com. Next week, we will discuss one of David's favorite films.
Next week, we'll be discussing one of my favorite trilogies. Hope to see you then.
It's a trilogy?
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Bye.